cliffcentral.com. Good morning. It is me, Ben Karpinski, here for the morning show, which is normally Gareth's Cliff Show. But Gareth is in transit. He's coming back from America, so we're holding down the fort one more time. Good morning, my buddy Malou.
Good morning, Ben.
As you can see, the sun has risen again today. We didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah, the sun has risen. We've all woken up and we'll have to, you know, go back to doing the mundane tasks that occupy our day-to-day lives.
Well, I say that, of course, the sun rose like this morning.
And so many people were insulted, they left. Because she can't draw a crowd, so she gets stars. But they were so insulted, you know, they're political people.
The sun literally rose with screams and Donald Trump just talking.
Okay.
See, now we're up so early, we hear this, of course.
Yes, yeah, but this is standard procedure.
So I raised my phone to the air and recorded this morning.
Okay.
Who would have thought, huh? But yeah, yesterday was actually quite a tumultuous day. Michael, you live kind of more on the eastern side of where we live. The floods, I'm glad you're here, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, did you lose anything?
I didn't lose anything, but Lynxfield off-ramp was closed this morning.
And still, huh?
When I looked into it, why it was closed, apparently like three people drowned. Like they were in their cars, got caught in the flash flood, and just drowned.
Oh, man. You know, some of the pictures that I saw being circulated yesterday, it's just amazing how quickly it all happens with, you know, when large bodies of water are involved. And yeah, people basically got trapped in their cars. And then what subsequently happened is that the water level started to rise. And that's how some of these people drowned. It's frightening.
That is one of the scariest things. Firstly, you're in rush hour traffic, okay? So life's already giving you the finger.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, you're in the ocean. But like, Masma Panyani made a good point on Twitter yesterday. He said, surely a good drainage system was more important than an ETOL system? Because how is this possible? Like, okay, I know Lynxfield is, okay, there's rivers around there. It might be one of the more low-lying areas of Greater Joburg.
Mm.
But that was like water, really. I mean, if you don't live in Joburg, you don't maybe not see what happened yesterday. But there was water above window level of cars.
Yeah.
In the space of an hour.
Yeah.
Like that's
and this is
Noah's
in,
Ark kind of stuff.
And this is in traffic, right? This is in peak hour traffic. So it's not like your car is moving very fast.
So people are stuck, okay? They can't go anywhere. And they just think, oh, it's raining a lot. Oh, we need the rain. It's a drought. And then it's like, okay, it's really raining. And then suddenly it's going up. Now engines are being flooded.
Yes.
So they can't drive anywhere, even if they did have space.
Yes.
That must be one of the most, like, if you were caught anywhere near this, please give us a call.
Yeah, please.
0861-555-189. I mean, that must have been just the most horrible afternoon possible. And on the back of people getting very emotional about Trump winning, yesterday was like Armageddon.
Jeepers. I mean, I'm just trying to picture, because now your car's engine gets damaged, so it can't move. And then what do you do when you try to escape? You try to push open your door, but the force of the water that's rushing past you is probably so strong you can't open your door. So then you are literally trapped in this machine.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I was just, my girlfriend Daniela was coming back from Cape Town, so she literally left Cape Town and then somehow landed in Durban. And she's like, okay, look, I've had a bad day, so I'm actually getting an earlier flight.
Yeah.
So I want to get home. And then she's in Durban, and then OR Tambo is completely broken, basically.
Yeah.
And she said, like, how bad's the rain? I was like, well, yeah, it's kind of bad. I mean, like, I had to put the bike in the garage. And meanwhile, in the East Rand, it's like the airport was flooding as well.
Yes. The airport was on lockdown last night. Yeah. No flights going in, no flights going out. Yeah.
And there's this amazing picture circling of someone, obviously, in the CBD, just took a picture of this. I mean, it was a cloud burst. Literally, the clouds, like, the sky fell on the East Rand.
Jeepers.
It just spotted the East Rand and then said, here, sky, flat out.
Back to Mups's comment about why there's no drainage system on the highway, but we got ETOLs. Government couldn't figure out how to make money off a drainage system, so they made ETOLs instead.
Well, you know, there were a lot of cars that were damaged in yesterday's flash flood. So can you imagine the mayhem that various insurance companies are going to be dealing with now. I mean, you claim that from insurance, don't you?
How do you explain it to insurance?
I was stuck in the flash flood.
And then my car just swam away.
You don't. I think when you phone the hotline today, they go, press 8 for flash flood.
Yeah, they've created because a new line specifically for the floods that happened.
People today are either going to be, everyone's stressed and everyone's angry, but can you imagine being in insurance and having to deal with people whose lives are pretty fucked right now, let's be honest.
Yeah.
This is a massive thing to turn around. I know a car is an asset or a possession, but it's a massive thing. Like, you can't get to work. It's a huge expense to you every single day of your life. Your life revolves around getting around. This isn't the greatest place for public transport. Plus, the highways are closed.
Yeah, it's going to be such a mess, actually.
So basically, we wish you luck today if you live in Johannesburg.
And nothing's stopping it from happening again today.
Well, there's more water coming. Look, there's a lot goes into this whole drainage thing. Firstly, I don't think it's very well built. As Michael just cynically pointed out, it's not a money spinner. But stormwater drains are so full of rubbish, like from nappies to carcasses and who knows what. People just litter too much. So the water has to go somewhere and it can't. So then it just rises. And then suddenly we have people dying. But yeah, I mean, people are living near rivers. My home golf course, okay, is in Linksfield, Royal Johannesburg.
Mm.
Like, flooded. I spoke to the CEO yesterday and he said, I've got a long meeting tomorrow with insurers. Because, like, bridges have been washed away, okay?
Yes.
So access to certain holes you can't get to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, wow. The place for the South African Open tournament is going to be held next month. Completely just, it's just underwater.
Well, you know, that's Mother Nature for you. Every now and again, she likes to remind us who's really in charge here, and it's not us.
Maybe it's time we start adapting. Have you ever seen those cars that turn into boats when you drive them into water?
Sorry, what?
Amphibious cars.
Yeah, amphibious. Maybe we stop looking at flying cars and amphibious cars, and however you say it, we need to start looking at that.
Is that a real thing?
Amphibious cars.
Yeah, you drive it into water and it turns into a boat.
Or just get like that James Bond car, which then goes under the water.
Sure, because, you know, we'll all be able to afford that.
We've all got an extra $4 million to soup our cars up for water.
Wait a minute. How long is the transition from it going from car to boat?
Instantaneous.
It has to be immediately.
You push a button and your propeller just starts.
You mean within seconds?
Yeah.
It's not a whole thing where levers rise and things are pushed out.
No time to mess around.
We've spent so much time looking up instead of looking down. Prof Block has been looking up and wasting his time.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
all right, so if you were involved yesterday in any of these floods or anything like that, please let us know, and hopefully you all are okay. And if you are stranded, hopefully you have sympathetic bosses and people will understand. This is a long process. This highway is going to be closed for a bit. We will give you updates as we get them through. But exactly like Mab said, you know, Mother Nature, she's a bit of a bitch sometimes.
Mm.
But, you know, either wipe us out or just leave us alone. This whole in-between teasing us, annoying us.
I don't know what to say.
And probably a little tester of what's to come with Donald Trump.
And if you've got beef with Donald Trump, don't take out on us. We did nothing yesterday down here in Africa. Leave our rand alone and just give us a bit of rain. Don't give us death and floods.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, it is a Thursday, so that means we have Justice Malala today. He'll be on the phone, though.
Mm.
He's in PE, and, well, quite frankly, I've got to have a word with him about this.
What do you mean? The man is very busy, obviously. I mean, Justice spends very few nights in Johannesburg, seemingly, because he travels a lot.
Oh, I don't know, Mubs. I kind of feel, you know, we're here in the studio. I mean, I feel like we're at home making a dinner for, you know, him to come home to, and then suddenly he calls, oh, yeah, sorry, I'm working late. I'll FaceTime you a little bit later. And then you're sitting here with, like, a wasted dinner.
Yeah.
And you wanted to see him. And I just think that's where we are right now with Justice. And I just feel, is it us? Is it him? I mean, what is it? Because today, he says he's in PE.
Yes.
Nothing happens in PE. So there, he's lying.
Okay, well, then you have to take this on with him.
I will. I will take this up on behalf of everyone. I think Justice is good. You know, I just want to know. I just want to know where we stand. Because I feel like we...
Do you suspect that there might be somebody else?
I do.
Okay.
I do, and you know, maybe that's my insecurity as a radio show, but maybe I'm right. So I just think we, you know, it's been a long time. I'm entitled to ask.
It's been exactly a week, Ben. We were with him last week.
No, he's been with us as a relationship for quite a long time.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Exactly.
What you mean.
Yeah, so we've got that. We've got Donovan Galath coming in as well. He's got a new show coming out, and he's always loads of fun.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, he was also being very vocal on Twitter yesterday with regards to the whole Donald Trump win, so we'll catch up with his thoughts on that as well. You know, comedians love that kind of stuff because it just feeds into their creativity.
Exactly. We're also going to catch up on Trevor Noah's thoughts. No, we haven't got him as interview. Duh. But he was quite outspoken yesterday because, you know, he, like all the other people who have been bagging Trump for months now, had to go up and basically say, well, he's kind of the president.
Yeah, he is. I was thinking yesterday, CNN are probably going to have to run some kind of workshop or like run psychological sessions where they have to train all their anchors from next year to actually say President Donald Trump without, you know, like threatening to throw up
that's
going to be so hard for CNN.
But something I noticed yesterday as well, I've got to let you know about this, is like when I was watching that CNN about however long ago, for the last few months, every time they mentioned something around Donald Trump, there was almost like they were talking in italics, like, and then he said something about the Mexicans, whereas now he's president, they're going, okay, so what about the Mexicans? It's like the tone has now changed. It's like, oh my gosh, we have to actually take this wall thing seriously.
Oh dear.
In the past, it would be like wry smiles around the wall, and it's like, okay, so let's talk about the wall.
Yeah. Meanwhile, over at Fox News, I'm sure they were all just, you know, on cloud nine yesterday reporting the news.
Pretty funny. Anyway, so connect with us, Touch Central app. You can message the screen on the WeChat's Cliff Central profile. You can message the screen there as well, just like these people have. Sometimes I press this refresh button and then I just get given circles. Just like Roger says, left my office in Midrand at 6:30 to avoid traffic. Took me 3 hours to get home, which was 19 kilometers away.
Oh,
so you know, we're here for you. If you want to share some of your pain from yesterday, if you are in the greater Joburg area, then please go ahead. Wow, we're getting some pretty horrible pictures coming through as well. Liesl just sent us a pic. That's just crazy. It's just way too much water. So, yeah, we'll take your calls, we'll do all the rest. Gareth's not going to be here with us today, but you know what? Enjoy your time with us. This could be the last time in a while you get to spend just with us. So give us a call and all those other good things.
Wonder where you'll be tonight. I'll be waiting for you on the other side of the night.
Into the morning with some C9.
C9. Okay.
Spelled C and then the number 9 and then I-N-E.
All right.
Yeah, C9. See you later. Well, we'll see you right now because it is Thursday morning and you're with us until 9 a.m. this morning. Hopefully we can keep you for that long. Not that we're possessive or anything, just that we like to keep you entertained in the morning. And Gareth is still in America, but if you are following him on social media, then I'm sure you know exactly what he's up to and what's happening over there. He was posting pictures about him being on the Harry Connick Jr. show. Was it just me or did he look kind of like nervous?
Gareth?
Yeah, he was standing there with this like nervous grin on his face.
I don't know. I thought he looked like his ordinary self. I don't know.
Okay, well, speaking of American shows, Trevor Noah on The Daily Show, right? He's been quite outspoken, like most people, about this whole Donald Trump thing. So in the lead-up to the election, it was all just lots of jokes, lots of laughs. This guy's obviously never going to be president. But then everyone's kind of worst nightmare happened yesterday. So this is The Daily Show's reaction to it.
From Comedy Central News Headquarters in New York, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah's live coverage. Election night 2016. No, no, please, no. Oh, God, no, no.
Thank you so much, everybody. Welcome to The Daily Show. We are live across many channels. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is election night, 11 p.m. on the East Coast, 8 out west, and 9 a.m. tomorrow in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, which is where we may soon want to live. This is it, the end of the presidential race, and it feels like the end of the world. You know, it's. I'm not gonna lie, I don't know if you've come to the right place for jokes tonight, because this is the first time throughout this entire race where I'm officially shitting my pants. I genuinely do not understand how America can be this disorganized or this hateful. I don't know which one it is. You know, when most democracies in the world pick a leader, they go by, you know, who did more people vote for? And America just makes it interesting by being like, oh, no, let's do this electoral college thing, you know. Tonight is all about which candidates, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, can win majorities in enough states to get 270 electoral votes and thereby claim the Iron Throne. And right now, honestly.
So naturally, this is just a few hours before the official announcement.
Right.
But like the writing was on the wall for so long yesterday.
Yes.
Kind of like the time that we started the show yesterday, we kind of knew the numbers weren't going anywhere but for Donald. But he makes a good point, though. Just in case you're wondering, the popular vote is basically civilians. And these electoral college votes is like the, you know, the way things are structured within every state. So you get majorities within state, which is an electoral college, if I get my facts straight. But even if Crooked Hillary was to get every man in the street, doesn't always bear the, it's like kind of like idols actually. You get judges' votes and then you get the call-in votes.
And then some votes weigh heavier than others.
Exactly,
is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, you get like votes and super votes. I think it's.
Honestly, I'd call it a nail biter if I had any nails left. Donald Trump is doing much better than expected. He's doing so much winning that I'm tired of winning. I cannot believe that I finally get what that means. He warned us about it. I mean, right now, I don't know if you've seen this, the Mexican peso is crashing. That's what's happening to Mexico's currency, which means if Trump does win, Mexico can't afford to pay for that war. Yeah. This is one of the craziest nights of my life. We still don't know what's happening, and we're going to take you through it. Every result that comes in, we will share with you. And it's so crazy because the day started out so peacefully. You know, Hillary and Donald went to vote earlier today. Trump went to vote with his wife, Melania. And this is true. When they started filling out their ballots, it looked like he was checking to see who Melania was voting for. And it wasn't just Donald Trump either. Even his son, Eric Trump, was checking his wife's ballots. It tells you something that the Trump men themselves weren't sure who the Trump women were voting for, you know? It's like leaning over going, hey, you're not going to screw us over. And it's like, oh, no, we'll do to you what you do to women. And they're like, oh, okay, good. It was a lot easier for Hillary. She went to vote this morning.
It is the most humbling feeling, Dan, because, you know, I know how much responsibility goes with this. And so many people are counting on the outcome of this election, what it means for our country. And I'll do the very best I can if I'm fortunate enough to win today.
You know, I know this is a scary moment and it's too close to call, but can we just acknowledge what an amazing moment this is for Hillary Clinton and all women? Can we just acknowledge the moment that we may be witnessing? To see her name on the ballot, possibly the first woman president. Although, to be honest, like when I watched that, I was like, I called a little bit of BS, you know, when she was like, oh, I'm humbled. That's not humbling, like seeing your name.
See,
as president, that's like...
Good point, Trevor. We're going to just pinch it off there. Now, this whole thing about the Democrats, I'm getting a lot of sense that they were so smug about what was going to happen, like they were going to definitely win.
Mm.
But then what do you make of Hillary not then addressing her supporters when the news came out? She kind of thought, well, you know, screw it. I'm just going to go to bed or whatever. She said she was too emotional, which is a fair comment. But do you not think that just sort of, like Gareth made the point as well on Twitter yesterday, then perhaps it's good that she didn't win because true leaders embrace situations like this and do the right thing.
Mm.
People have just been campaigning for Hillary for months, okay? The whole I'm with her, all that kind of stuff. And then she gets to the point where it hasn't happened. She hasn't won. And she's like,
Overcome with emotion.
Like, would it be too harsh to think that was just a telltale sign that maybe she wasn't the leader that everyone was hoping she could be?
Again, you know, seemingly they would have written a speech for her for when she loses. And so, you know, my thinking is, well, your team obviously didn't do a good enough job to make sure that they cover all the bases in case you do lose, in which case, you know, she wouldn't be criticized as people have been doing for the speech that she did ultimately deliver after the loss.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so look, obviously the elections were yesterday. I don't want to harp on too much about it because the world does go on, especially here in South Africa. We do have our own stories. We have our own natural disasters.
Yes, we.
Yeah, so take that, America.
Yeah.
I think it's all about you.
No, we really don't want to compete here when it comes to natural disasters. But yes, you're right.
But also, most yesterday I was a bit emotional. So thankfully for me, the election was a nice sideshow because I think there's a much bigger travesty happening right now in the world. So after seven, I'm going to bring it to you. I'm going to unpack this whole story.
I didn't see you being emotional bit yesterday.
I was holding it in. I just didn't talk about this subject.
Oh, my goodness.
So after seven today, I'm going to share something with you, which I think is just shows the world really is going downhill. It's not even on a slippery slope anymore. I think it's just gone. But yeah, yesterday there was a lot of talk about all the Americans who were all big mouth about the fact that they're now going to leave America.
Yes,
if Donald Trump loses.
Reports of, you know, the Canadian immigration website crashing. And I saw a lot of black Twitter in South Africa yesterday saying that they don't want any of the African Americans to come back to the motherland.
People are becoming very territorial at the moment. Eh? It's like... Trump wants America for Americans. Oh. Americans want to go somewhere else. Other people don't want Americans.
Yeah, it was such a mess. It was a mess.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy in our mess down south here.
Yeah.
So let's just go through the list quickly of all the Americans who said they were going to be out of here. This man says, I'm going to get in a rocket and go into another planet because clearly this planet's gone bonkers. That was Jon Stewart, the ex-host of The Daily Show.
Oh, yes.
This celebrity said, all these people that threaten to leave the country then don't. I actually will leave the country.
Who was that?
That was comedian Chelsea Handler. This one said, I'm going to vom and move out the country if Trump wins. That was Miley Cyrus.
Ah, Miley Cyrus.
Neve Campbell said she was going to leave, and everyone said, who the hell is Neve Campbell?
Oh, dear.
She was like the Kristen Stewart of the Scream franchise. She always looked very brooding and that kind of stuff.
She was a better actress, though, wasn't she?
Well, she had to show more emotion, yeah. So I suppose, I mean, look, the daughter of the studio is a better actress than that chick from Twilight. The next comedian said, I love Canada. I think it's a great place. And there's an area in Vancouver that I find beautiful and appealing, and I could conduct business from there. Lena Dunham.
Oh, she's the creator and writer of that show, Girls.
Okay, well, she's maybe going to move. If Trump were to be elected, I'm moving to Jupiter. That was singer-actress Cher.
Oh, sure, okay.
But Cher's like 117, and she's obviously found
the
formula for eternal life.
Cher has lived to see a lot of presidents, some of them good, some of them bad. So she could stomach another unpredictable president, I'm sure.
Well, the interesting thing there is that Cher was irate when Nixon got elected. That's how old she is.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. When I say some of them bad, there you go, Nixon right there.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, there's quite a few. I'll get to some more, but now we need to get into the news, Mavs, because brought to you by Calcacchio Pizzeria this morning, we do have other things to worry about in the world, so we'll just kind of bleed the American stuff in and out of the show today, but my buddy Malloy is with us today to give us the rest of the headlines. What you got, Mavs?
Well, mayhem is quite frankly the word that was used to describe the scenes on the East Rand in Gauteng yesterday. At the Galulis interchange, also the R24 was affected, Boksburg, Rondebult, North Rand. Confirmations of at least two people drowning. And the Yerkesgay River burst its banks, which is part of the, you know, what caused the big problem, thus affecting the R55 in Kyalami. Flights in and out of OR Tambo International were also delayed due to the severe storm. Several people are still missing. Yeah. Following those flash floods, according to the Metropolitan Police Department. And I'm afraid I'm seeing tweets all over the place of more rain predicted for today. And, you know, not your light drizzle, but more your severe thunderstorm. So it seems like, we might have to brace ourselves for potentially more today.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with Gauteng, South Africa, and just Joburg rain, it doesn't rain. It sort of assaults the earth. It makes loud bangs of thunder, and then before you know it, it's like a Gatling gun. It just comes at you.
Yeah, it comes at you with, you know, lightning, and it's quite scary.
Yeah,
imagine scary. Our president like gave one of those state emergency addresses that we've all got to go to higher ground right now. There's about to be the maddest flood. Where do we go? Where is this higher ground?
Everyone goes to Nkandla.
Oh,
is that the highest ground?
We just haven't got a system to get us there yet, but that's basically the plan.
Yeah, because they surely are equipped with, you know, ways and means to deal with any eventuality, aren't they? They should be.
Yeah, okay. But if that fire pool overflows, we're all dead again.
Yeah, but look, I think the cue we take here is just follow the rats. And there's enough of them in this area here in Rivonia. So basically, we're fine. We're going to follow our rat friends. Put it this way, if they come up that studio staircase,
yes,
then we're screwed.
All right, so wherever the rats are going, that's where we need to go. All right, terror-accused siblings Ibrahim and Fatima Patel, who have been charged with violating the Explosives Act and Firearms Control Act, are back in court today. The pair were arrested after a stun grenade and 21 bullets were allegedly found in their house during a raid. Their house is on the West Rand, and it was raided back in July. They were released on 5,000 rand bail each. They were allegedly linked to ISIS, the terror group, and were allegedly planning to set off explosives at a U.S. embassy and then also at Jewish institutions in South Africa. You might also remember the twins, Brandon Lee and Tony Lee Tulsi. They were also arrested during a separate raid on the same day. They were charged with 3 counts of contravening the Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorist and Related Activities Act. So, Ibrahim and Fatima Patel back in court this morning.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just got to hope the court system can be quite swift with this. Because, you know, there's all these grey areas about terrorism and then just people with their beliefs and activism stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly something that our courts have a heck of a lot of experience with, you know, certainly not in the last couple of years.
No, but I think it's one of those things. It's just going to evolve to the point where people become a lot more efficient with it because you've got to deal with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's becoming more of a global thing. It's not just certain countries anymore.
All right. So if you were the Mexican president, what would your first point of business be now that you know that Donald Trump is the world leader that you're going to be dealing with?
Build a wall before they build a wall.
Start investing in brick and cement companies.
Well, Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto has begun carefully laying the groundwork for a relationship with a new leader who quite publicly campaigned against his nation's citizens. Peña Nieto congratulated the American electorate yesterday, and he said he's ready to work with Trump to advance the country's relationship. Peña Nieto also added that Mexico and the United States are friends. They're partners and allies that must continue to collaborate for the competitiveness and development of North America. Mexico's Treasury Secretary, José Antonio Meade, he tried to reassure the world that their financial position is strong, you know, in light of the falling peso. And hopefully Anthea this morning will be able to fill us in on how the Mexican peso is doing, you know, a few hours after the fact.
Well, it'll be Anthea can't be with us today. She's having a meeting of sorts.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be Henry here, Michael.
Yes.
All right. Well,
Henry
fine.
Will be standing in. He's stood in before. He's very good.
I thought that story was going to go very differently when Mub started it with he started laying the groundwork.
No. They have not started building any wall of any kind whatsoever. Now, something, you know, that I picked up on yesterday, the presidency released a statement on behalf of our president congratulating Donald Trump, saying he's looking forward to working with America, blah, blah, blah. The British Prime Minister, Theresa May, her people also released a statement congratulating Donald Trump. And a lot of South Africans and a lot of Brits were very angry with their leaders for congratulating Trump. Like, what do you want to happen, guys? It's said and done. Oh. And at this stage, it's customary, right? I mean, the world leaders have to acknowledge
exactly
the incoming leader into the fold. It's kind of like it's something that they have to do.
It's
I didn't understand.
It's part of diplomacy.
People got so upset yesterday. You know, people were saying, what? President Zuma doesn't speak on my behalf.
Like, that's the worst thing he's done of late. I mean, really, pick your battles.
Guys,
people.
I know some of you might be upset, but come on.
Wow.
Yeah, that is the latest with your headlines at 6:30 this morning.
All right, your news this morning brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. You must get onto that app. I keep telling you, it's because I'm using it and I'm really enjoying it. And Mubs, you're going to enjoy a nice lunch tomorrow on the back of my slices.
Yes, thank you very much, Ben.
I thought I'd slow play it to Friday, you know.
No, that's
incentivized.
No, that's good. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
you
very
know.
Good. All right, in the sport right now, England versus India. England, well, they had a really great day yesterday, 311 for 4. They've rattled it on to 346, but Moeen Ali has just left a ball and it's clashed into the stumps. So they're 346 for 5. India took the new ball at the start of play today, And the two gingers, Ben Stokes and Johnny Bairstow at the crease now. So they're looking really good on England. The funny thing is that people are saying, oh, well, why, if England can do this, why couldn't the Proteas do this when they're in India? Well, the difference is that it's money, really. When SA went to India, India could not care about us because we're not part of the ICU3, okay? So we're not some of the big money in the world of cricket. So they prepared pitches that were just going to spin us out and basically murder us. Whereas here, you've got
that
England.
That sounds like sabotage.
Yeah, no, it is. No.
Is it?
It's not exactly nice. It's not exactly gentlemanly.
But it's allowed, seemingly.
It is. You can do whatever you want. But look, put it this way. India and England now have a 5-test series, right? So there's potentially 25 days of hardcore TV rights and money pouring into the BCCI, which is the Board of Complete Control in India. So if you're thinking that's like, oh, well, why don't we get those pitches? It's all economics, guys. There's nothing more to it. People don't really, when opposition countries go to India, they want to beat them so they can become the world number one team. When England go there, they want to make money.
What is an ideal pitch, Ben?
Something that gives a bit of balance between bat and ball. So if you look what's happening now, that pitch looks very green, right?
Mm.
So there's going to be something in there for the seamers early on with the new ball. Otherwise, the ball's going to come on nicely for the batsmen so they can play through with their shots. We won't get uneven pace. What India normally do is they have very dry and rough pitches. That means that they can play 5 spin bowlers. The ball is turning square from day one. And it's very difficult to score lots of runs with that. India, of course, know this and they can play around that. And they've got superior spinners. Yeah, so that's kind of the psyche behind India. So yeah, England 348 for 5. Bad news for the Proteas. No, none of our players are injured or anything like that. It looks like it's going to rain an absolute shitload over the weekend in Hobart. So Hobart's way east, so that means that the game will start every day at 1:30. But literally, we are looking at showers from all 5 days there. So if you were looking to wake up and see the Aussies get stuffed again, well, it might not happen this time. It might just be that the weather helps them out. Because if the Aussies lose this one now, they've lost 5 in a row. And I'm pretty sure that'd be the first time in the history of Australian cricket that's going to happen. But today, starting in just over an hour, we've got the Nedbank Golf Challenge. So this is Africa's biggest golf tournament. And it's always so great because at Sun City, one of the greatest places to play golf in the whole world, at the Mr. Gary Player Country Club. Now, Mr. Gary Player, he's not shy of the attention, right? So
yeah.
It's the Nedbank Golf Challenge presented by Gary Player at the Gary Player Country Club.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, the commentators are falling over themselves to mention his name as much as possible.
Yes, of course.
Really funny. He's 81, of course, so he'll tell you about that because he beats his age every time he plays golf.
And you are literally his biggest fan in the country.
No.
No, you really are.
Yeah, okay. Let's just go with that.
You did 81 push-ups for his 81st birthday the other day.
Does it look like it's 81 of anything recently?
It happened in the studio. I saw you do it, Ben. Don't try and back out of this now.
So Henrik Stenson is the overwhelming favorite here. He has been a past winner at this tournament. He knows the course well, and for many of the field, now there's a full-blown European Tour event, many of the field have never actually played at this course. It's not the easiest, plus you've got altitude to deal with, you've got the stifling heat as well, plus you've got some very passionate hometown fans. Now, there's 9 South Africans in the field this week. I can't see any of them winning, quite frankly. They haven't had great years, and the ones that have done okay here and there, it literally has just been here and there. So Henrik Stenson is your overwhelming favourite. Danny Willett, though, has got lots to prove. He's had a bit of a rough run of things since winning the Masters. But he is second in the Race to Dubai standing, so he kind of has to finish in the top 5 this week and hope that Stenson doesn't win. So if you're looking for a little outside bet, Danny Willett, yeah, you can get about 9-1 in him placing this weekend, so that's pretty decent. International rugby, today we'll see the naming of the English and Springbok teams. So what Alistair Scott-Searle is going to do, like I said yesterday, is going to pick the biggest possible forward pack he can. And then they can do the all-important physicality thing, which is great because that clearly doesn't win you matches in 2016. Anyway, they'll go with that, so I'll bring you that tomorrow. The game will kick off 4:30, but we'll get more into that once we have the teams up. In football news, well, Bafana Bafana, can they do the impossible and beat a decent team? Now, that is going to take place Saturday, 3 o'clock. And, well, look, if Sheikh Mashaba doesn't win this match, there's a very good chance that he will officially be fired because I think it's about 7 months or 9 months until Bafana play again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a long time for him just to basically be having an average record. Nothing happens. At least you get a new coach in now. You've got a 9-month period that something else could happen. So that is something they're going to look into. So big pressure. Senegal are always decent. And Bafana, well, they've got a couple of injury worries, but again, we'll get into the close to the weekend. There's a lot of World Cup qualifiers and international friendlies happening at the weekend. Last night, there was a bit of a boring 1-1 draw between Netherlands and Belgium. So there'll be no league action or anything like that over the weekends for any of your favourite teams and leagues. So, yeah, international friendlies and all that kind of stuff. Look out for that. Lots of golf over the Nedbank, of course. Being in South Africa, the time zone's very good for people here in SA. And then the crickets, well, that's just going to be something that you really need to get into. 3-5-4-5 England at the moment. And then we've got the Grand Prix as well, but we'll get into that tomorrow. After the break, we're going to take, well, you can take your calls if you want. Otherwise, Henry's going to tell us about the finance right now, what's happening in the markets, and all those other things we need to worry about after the Donald Trump now becomes president of America. All right, that's Keb featuring KG, Zeus, Casper, Nyo Vest, and a whole bunch of other people. And that is MIA. But it's not going to be played right now.
No, not right now.
How about we come back with some MIA?
Yeah,
if you like MIA, there's a little sneak peek for you. With a proper radio station, coming up next, in the next hour. Well, look, it's finance. Anthea's in an emergency meeting right now. Perhaps it's got something to do with the markets. Who knows?
I'm guessing it does. She sounded a little bit despondent yesterday when she was talking about how the markets were reacting. So
yeah, when an orange person becomes the president of America and you're involved in the markets, well, things are going to get quite tricksy. Henry, you're on the line there with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. Perfectly well. Thank you. Very good, Skype plan. How are you doing this morning?
I'm not sure. I feel like we're waking up in an episode of The Simpsons.
Well, funny you mention that, because The Simpsons have had a habit of predicting things for quite some time now. There's this clip that's going around of 10 things that The Simpsons have predicted.
Yes.
And one of them was Donald Trump obviously being president.
Yes, and they did so in the exact year that it happened, 2016.
Yeah, so Henry, are you guys watching The Simpsons and just basing all your market trends on that now? Is that going to be the plan?
Well, we are now.
Yeah. Wise decision.
Cool. So,
and we're also a little worried that the Kardashians are going to make a run for office in the next round.
Oh yes, Kanye West, 2020. Here we go.
Yes.
Guys, you get peaks and troughs in life.
No,
you can't just get troughs and troughs.
It's completely possible now. Donald Trump made it so. Kanye West is the next president.
Okay, Henry. So you woke up yesterday morning. I'm sure much like Anthony or anyone else in your game. Maybe not the best way to wake up, seeing all that red. Did everything kind of go according to what you thought after that, market-wise?
Not at all. I mean, it's been an absolutely crazy year, and yesterday was just a furtherance of that, really. You know, I think if you look at any poll going into that election, you know, they were sort of pricing in a sort of 60 to 80% chance of a Clinton victory, and to wake up to a Trump victory was just an utter shock. And the initial reaction of the markets was what reflected exactly that. You know, you saw the S&P 500 futures pointing down by over 5% at a stage. And that's, in fact, a self-imposed limit that's set by the exchange. You know, it won't allow the index to fall any further. There's a sort of an electronic backstop. And we haven't seen that sort of move in the markets in any other situation other than a sort of a crisis, you know, sort of 2008 or in the event of the September the 11th attacks in 2001. So the magnitude of the move was massive. However, what was even more unexpected was the recovery of the markets later in the day. And that had everything to do with the speech that Donald Trump made once the result of the election was announced. And, you know, the nature of that speech was quite reconciliatory. And where one would have expected him to come out painting a picture of aggressive foreign trade policy and protectionist economic measures, it was actually quite balanced, and the markets really rallied in response to that. And we certainly didn't see that coming. I mean, just having a look at how the day ended, the all share was up 66 basis points. The S&P was up 1.4%, which in our view is unbelievable. The Dow 30 was up 1.1%. And even the Japanese stock exchange was up 6.3% yesterday. The currencies were fairly stable, with the rand trading at 13 rand 45 to the dollar, 16 rand 70 to the pound, and 14 rand 70 to the euro. Oil's at $47, which is more or less where it was, and gold's at $1,283 an ounce. Again, more or less unmoved.
So basically, we're fine. Like, there was these doomsday mongers yesterday just shouting to anyone that would listen.
Well, that's what the markets are telling you, surprisingly. And, you know, what we did is we listened into a number of conference calls yesterday with a number of the major investment banks in the States. And they view a term under Trump as largely pro-growth. You know, they see a series of tax reforms that may come through. You know, there's a lot of talk around cutting the corporate tax rate in America from 25% to 15%. That would be very positive for corporate margins. There's obviously a lot of talk around increased infrastructure spending, which is positive for their economies. It's also positive for commodities, and you saw that in the JSE's resources index yesterday, moving up by about 2.5%. And I think they also believe that his term will be characterized by deregulation, which again is very positive for corporate America.
Well, I suppose this, you know, when you really look into things and you let the dust settle, like, it can't go too far wrong. People just got this idea that once he comes in, like, things will go up in flames. So it's nice to know that, you know, the world will still kind of tick over. Like, we should all just kind of chill out a bit. But I want to know is, like, obviously we've seen the peso has been going south. Obviously, that's not so cool.
Yes.
Rand-wise and things locally, I mean, is this going to really impact us a huge much going forward?
Well, it's difficult to say. Going into the election, you know, in the event of a Trump victory, we all thought that it would be quite negative for emerging markets and very negative for emerging market currencies. But the market's telling you otherwise. And the story that seems to be unfolding is one of sort of fiscal expansion in the States. And that's positive for commodities. And anything that's positive for commodities is positive for the South African market and in turn positive for the South African rand.
Very good. And as far as things like gold and stuff like that, also, I mean, pretty stable. It's not like there's a mad rush for that kind of commodity.
Well, exactly. You know, gold is again, a safe haven asset. And whenever there's panic, there's a flight to safety. And at the moment, the markets are telling you that people just aren't panicking. You know, an interesting statistic that came out of our conversations yesterday was what the impact on corporate America will be, you know, of a Trump term. And they view... Well, they see a sort of $10 to $15 boost in earnings per share for the S&P 500 over the next 4 years. And that equates to around 150 to 200 basis points on the index, which is growth of around 7 to 10%, you know, on their stock market. So, again, it just seems as though calm has returned to the markets, and a Trump term might not be as bad a thing, economically speaking, at least, as everyone thought.
You know, Henry, it's interesting talking to you this morning because yesterday when you speak to any other expert in social media, you know, they're just saying, yeah, oh, the shit's hit the fan, this is it, the world's gone mad. But at least people, they base all of this on nothing, on absolutely nothing. At least we know that you got the sort of educated voice here, which has been great.
Well, you know what? I mean, his campaign has been characterized by inconsistency, you know, shooting from the hip and sort of inconsistent communication around what his intended policies will be. You know, so there's every possibility that the presidential term might be similar. You know, and my worry is that, you know, we'll see a number of gaffes coming out of the Donald's mouth that might roil markets over the next 4 years. But hopefully he surrounds himself with good people. And that's something we spoke about yesterday as well. You know, I think the next 4 years really hinges on the team that he builds around him. And hopefully he ends up being well advised and perhaps, you know, his term will be a less sensationalist or less sensationalist in nature. And we'll see some sort of mature policies coming through from, you know, from his team.
Oh, okay. Because I was just about to ask you, you know, what impact we're likely to see the trade relationship or the trade agreement between Mexico and the USA, you know, have, because, you know, are there going to be nerves around that trade agreement?
I think it's all up in the air, about it. And you're seeing that in the movement of the peso right now. Mm. You know, it's at an all-time low. And, you know, certainly if you focus the argument around Mexico, I think that it is concerning. You know, but I think what's really going to drive markets is the relationships that America now negotiate with the world. And there's a lot of talk around them negotiating NAFTA. But again, it really depends on where they go with this. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty at this point. So I don't think people should take a false sense of security from the movements in the markets yesterday. I think the markets yesterday were largely driven out of the sort of balanced rhetoric that came out of the acceptance, well, you know, the victory speech. But, you know, I still think there's a lot of risk of volatility going forward.
All right, Henry. Well, thanks so much. I think that's the snapshot we needed today to realize that everything's going to be okay. And life will just carry on. Well, we hope so. Basically, moral of the story, just keep working hard. Everyone's going
to
be all right.
And always pay attention to anything that the Simpsons say.
Yeah.
Always.
That's it.
Well, exactly, guys. And I think at least the next 4 years will be very entertaining.
Well, if nothing else, exactly. Cool, Henry. Thanks so much for standing in for Anthea today. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Cheers, eh?
Cool. So there's your news. That's your sport. Your finance. That's your first hour done. Next hour, we've got lots of stories coming up. We've also got Justice Malala to talk about some of the bigger issues. And then our guest, Donovan Glass. So you've got a great morning ahead of you. CliffCentral.com